ever since they left Egypt, as they went through the wilderness. And so this is Joshua's talk. And in chapter 30, this is Moses' talk. And in chapter 30, Moses is starting to wrap it up. He's starting to wrap it up, and he knows exactly who the Israelites are, because he's been with them for 40 years. And he has seen the generation of those who were making decisions pass away. He's seen that. And he's seen the next generation be raised up. And so he knows who they are, and they are willing to follow him. But because he knows who they are, he also knows that he knows their tendencies. And their tendency will be to fall away. And so he comes to chapter 30 now. We'll begin reading at verse 11. And we'll take it to a little bit further than what is described here. No, we'll take it right to 20. Thank you. You got it right. Thank you. We'll take it right to verse 20. So chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, starting at verse 11. This is Moses speaking. "Now, what I have commanded you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in the heaven, it's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." That's as far as we'll read. So Moses is about to hand over the reins, the steering wheel, to Joshua. And he's given Joshua this, he knows Joshua, first of all. He knows Joshua and Caleb, because they are the only ones that are surviving. Joshua, Moses, and Caleb are the only ones of the three that have actually walked through the Red Sea, left in the whole kingdom. The rest, or in the whole nation of Israel, the rest have perished. And the others have grown up in the wilderness. And so Joshua, Caleb, and Moses know each other rather well. And Joshua is the one who's going to take on the reins and take the nation across the Jordan into the promised land. And before they do that, Moses tells his people, he said, "Listen, choose life and prosperity. I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. Make a choice today." Wow. So we need to understand what prosperity is first, because in prosperity, we take a look at prosperity, we may say, well, that means wealth. And it has that element of wealth to it. But prosperity here, what Moses means, is more of a fullness of life if you will. A fullness, a completeness, a peace, a wholeness of life. It's not just wealth. And this is the gift that God has given. So essentially what Moses is saying here, he says, choose life and prosperity. Choose life and wholeness of life. Choose life and the fullness of life. Choose life and life to the full. Everything that life has to offer, choose that. Or choose death and destruction. Some of us may be wondering, like, okay, so what's worse than death? What's worse than death? But destruction, we have to understand that back in the ancient Near East, when Moses was living, there was so much more devotion to the nation or to families and or tribes. It wasn't all about the person like we have so much today. We are very individualistic. We say it's about me, and there's no more important person than me. But back in Moses' day, a person would gladly die to save the family name, to save the nation, to save the clan, the tribe. And so it's not only death, but it's also destruction, destruction of the tribe. Destruction of the family name. Destruction of the nation, even. And so the choice is very stark. It's very vast. Choose between life and life to the full, not mediocre life. Life to the full. All that it's got to offer. The best life. Or choose death and utter destruction. And there's no middle ground. Pick now. Now, you and I could easily say, well, that's easy, right? We're going to choose life, of course. Who wouldn't want to have life to the full? And I'm sure that the Israelites, they were saying this at that time too. We're choosing life. Oh, yeah. But who is life? The Lord is life. Moses says it in verse 20. He says, the Lord is your life. Yahweh, the name of God is your life. He's the one who supplies you with this fullness of life. So choose the Lord. Choose God. Wow. And so you see, that's an easy thing for us to say. Let's choose God. Certainly. And we often would look, if we were to continue on reading through Joshua, which is the next book, of course. Joshua, they follow Joshua. They're right behind Joshua. This motivational speech that Moses is giving them at the end of his life is kicking into gear, and they are going full steam ahead across the Jordan. They are taking over the cities as they need to take over. They are following the directions of the Lord as they are moving along. And then they start to waver. And they start to get a little bit lax with that. And they start to fall away from that. And they start not to choose life. In fact, getting into the book of Joshua, you see how the allotment of the tribes are laid out. And the tribe of Dan couldn't even keep their land. They lost it. And so they had to occupy different land. They didn't listen to the Lord in the end. They began to waver. They allowed other gods to infiltrate, other people to take over. They allowed the influence. Just as Moses had said. And it's not going to go well with you, he says. If you do that, it's exactly the same thing that happened in Joshua. In fact, in Joshua, at the end of Joshua, Joshua is doing the same thing that Moses did. He goes over a synopsis of how it all went since the Jordan River. He says, you were great. He says, and then you started to fall away. He says, so now, Joshua, in his farewell address, he's saying, now you got to choose. Are you going to choose another God? Or are you going to choose the Lord? And he says, and as for me and my household, we are going to follow God. Joshua says the same thing. And you and I may wonder, we may say, well, why? What was the big deal about following God? It was pretty easy for them. It was sort of doable. They were given the rules. They were given the set of guidelines, the Ten Commandments and the other laws, the Levitical laws. Just follow them. And that's all that they had to do. But they couldn't manage it. And they started, and it wasn't because they couldn't follow the rules. It's because they started to fall out of dedication, devotion, love for the Lord. And started to follow other gods. Because you know the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And so you and I, we say, well, okay, we sort of get that, but now we've got Jesus. And now it's really easy for us. We can do the same thing. We can follow too. We can be a disciple, a follower of Christ. We can be a disciple. We can follow Jesus, no problem. Jesus came to fulfill the law. We don't have to fill out all these laws. We don't have to do all this stuff. All we need to do is love God first and love our neighbor next. And then all of the rest falls into place. This is what Pastor Tim says to us all the time. Why don't we get that? And yet, we somehow too look at the other side of the fence, look at others and the way that the world works, and we too fall out of step sometimes. We too do this. And so we need to make a choice. I honestly believe that Moses says in this chapter, he says, choose this day, choose today, this day, today. He says it about 4 or 5 times that I counted. This day, today, today, this day. He says it so that we will be inspired, that they will be inspired, the Israelites will be inspired, to choose every day. You know, choice is twofold. Choice is twofold. Choosing to be a follower of Jesus, you may say, hey, I am going to follow Jesus. And you say, okay, now I'm going to sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And you sing that to the top of your lungs, and you keep on moving ahead, and you're all full of fire. And you're all full of goodness, and you, yes, this is what we are going to do. But then life starts throwing things at you. And you start to say, I don't know about that so much. And do I really need to do my devotions in the morning? And should I really be thanking God before I lay my head down to sleep at night? Do I need to thank Him for my meal? Or can I just sort of plunk in front of the TV and watch an episode of The Blacklist? Guilty. You know, it requires a choice every day. Not just once in your lifetime or twice in your lifetime. Coming to God and following Him, being a disciple of Christ even, is an everyday event. And several times a day within that day. For all the things that are happening to you in a day are given to you by God. Even in your struggles. Even in your times of glee and joy. Every time, all the time. It's always a choice. You know, I love that we can have this right now. We can have people here in our congregation sitting with us here right now. We can have people in our congregation and beyond online right now. There's a lot of blessing that goes on here because without our online technology and without the people that actually made it happen to keep it going all the time, and there's a lot of them and they're working very hard every week. I want you to all know that. To make this thing happen. Without them, we couldn't have done church in the past 3 months. So I'm very thankful for it all. And now we're starting to see the rules loosen up a little bit. We're starting to see how things are coming together a little bit. And starting to see people in the pews, and it's great. What a blessing it is. Now's the time to make a choice, though, as well. We don't stop choosing. We make a choice whether we are going to attend in worship, in physically or not. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I understand that there's a lot of issues at play. People are still scared. People are still unsure of the situation. People are unsure of the situation here as well. They don't know, not everybody knows that we are physically distanced. Not everybody knows that we are that the deacons have done such a great job of making sure that all the stuff, all the guidelines are being adhered to. Not everybody knows that. And then there's this general understanding of, well, I'm a little bit susceptible to disease, so I'm not going to go out there and do that. I won't be a part of that service. But I fear that there's several people who are quite comfortable not choosing not to come because it's convenient. Before we were allowed to come back into service, it wasn't a choice. Online was the only way. Now we have a choice again. Now we can become, we can show our discipleship by being part of a live service. And so I encourage you, if you're at home right now, and if you feel pretty good about coming into this circumstance, make the effort. It's worth it. Ask anybody here. They'll tell you it's worth it. It's worth sitting, getting off your lazy boy to come and sit on a hard pew bench in a very hot weather, watching the pastor preach, and you can't turn him off. All that is worth it. Right? You guys are awesome. You really are. It's worth it. This choice determines how some of you will start the rest of your lives. Thank you for all that make the effort to come out. And thank you for all those that are holding their own at home. Let's continue to work towards filling our church as this thing continues, as we navigate all of this through our new reality. And so that we can show each other and the world that we are a congregation of disciples. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us choices to make. And we thank you that we always need to make a choice for you. And that when we do make a choice for you, it is life. and it is life to the full. And you've shown that to us through Jesus. You have given that to us through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ and the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit within our lives as well. That it's not far away from us, that it's on the tip of our tongues, that it's in our hearts, just like it was for the Israelites back then. We thank you, God, that you have given to us this life of choice, and that when we choose you, you are always faithful. Be with us now as we continue our worship service, God. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll stand and we'll sing today.